What's up, everybody? This is Zach. We are diving into the dark web today. We'll be joined by Tristan and Randy, who you may remember from previous episodes. We're going to be talking about what the dark web is, how people get into it, and Randy's even going to share some of the actual activities that he's seen real world that go on the dark web. So stay tuned, listen in. It's good stuff. Thanks. All right. So I'm here with Tristan. Tristan, how's it going?
How's it going? Good morning.
What do you do at New Harbor Security?
I'm currently a security operations analyst.
And what does that person do?
Basically, we monitor our clients' day-to-day activity and anything that seems malicious or comes up or we feel we need to notify them about, we go ahead and make sure that happens and their system stays safe.
Cool. So you're like, this is like the watch desk, basically.
Yes, in human form.
All right. And so the reason we're talking is you did some research on the dark web.
Yes, I did a report on the dark web back in my associate's degree about 100 years ago. So,
and it was on specifically the Silk Road?
Yeah, basically just, you know, what the Silk Road is, what is the Tor browser, and what that opens up to into the dark web.
Perfect. So maybe at like the very high level, like what is the dark web?
So I'd say that the dark web is mostly, it's a black market. Like the Silk Road is a black market. So the dark web is pretty much things for, you know, legitimate users or malicious users. It could be used for, you know, illegal markets for firearms. I saw one website that was for ex-French Foreign Legion officers who would, for a price, maim a politician or for hitmen, things like that. So it can go
like mercenary stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's anything you could think of. It's most likely on the dark web.
And it was not originally, I mean, the purpose of it originally was essentially to create a sort of faceless, internet, right? Like you could go in there, it was encrypted, and you didn't really have to worry about privacy issues.
Right. So that's why the Tor browser is called the Onion Router, because it has many layers of encryption. So third-party trackers and ads can't follow you or your activity. So basically it just minimizes your digital footprint to surf the web anonymously.
And so anyone can basically download a Tor browser and essentially get access, but you must have to have some sort of like information to get in there.
No, it's pretty straightforward. You can download the Tor browser and, there's guides all over the internet that, that'll show you how to get into the Silk Road. And because when you look at a website in the Silk Road, it's not www.something.com. It's not indexed by regular search engines or the surface internet. So it's just like a long string of characters. And basically one website has this particular string and you can go there and view their goods or services.
Oh, interesting. And the Silk Road, like the dark web, was originally, I believe it was sort of created as an altruistic, sales location. Like the guy who created it really had good intentions, I think, starting it, right? And then it sort of took off and everyone started making lots and lots of money selling illegal things on there.
And right, because they knew the potential for that. Exactly. Because basically, you know, I think in the beginning it was due to geographical restrictions or internet censorship in some countries. So people wanted another outlet to get, you know, news information.
So this would be like bypassing like China's, government blocking of websites and stuff.
Yeah, basically things that were still blocked by proxies, things like that.
If you're buying, I mean, this is also, I don't know if cryptocurrency sort of popped up around the same time or if it was created specifically for the dark web, but obviously those two things kind of work hand in hand.
Yeah, it's basically provides a method for obfuscating people's identities for their transactions. And obviously everyone knows nowadays that Bitcoin is one of the most popular currencies on there now because it can really be tracked as well. But
and do you think, so I'll give a personal story, which I find pretty interesting. I previously worked in public safety and I was taking a course on like IEDs and like homemade explosives with the FBI, who was actually instructing it. And someone in the class had asked, you know, well, you know, like they were showing pictures that they found basically off of a regular website, like, you know, like some www.anarchistcookbook or something. And so someone in the class asked, like, you know, if I search for this on Google, you know, would you be able to figure out who I am? And one of the FBI agents was like, well, if you use Google, probably not. He's like, but if you use the dark web, almost 100%.
Oh yeah. I'm sure that's being monitored by agencies for sure.
Yeah. So it's not really as a secure place as it originally was. Cause now it's just everyone, it's pretty much like, it's still encrypted. It still probably provides a degree of anonymity higher than maybe you could get on the general web, but it's not quite the same place that it used to be, I'm assuming.
In the beginning years, it used to be dark as a dark web, but now since it's more popular, I think a lot more people flooded there to actually try to monitor and see what kind of nefarious things are going on under the water.
Yeah. And what would your recommendation be to people? Should they visit it or should they not visit it?
Well, it's I can't really say to that degree, but if you do plan on doing it, don't do it from your home computer. Make sure you have lots of proxies.
Yeah. So it's pretty sketchy then, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And to get an idea of it, I like to use the iceberg analogy, which is very popular. So the tip of the iceberg that's outside of the water is, you know, the internet as we know it today, the service net, you know, Google, Yahoo, Netflix, Bing, Facebook, Twitter, so on. But then under the water starts to get deeper and deeper of the levels of the dark web or the deep web. So you get your WikiLeaks, your Pirate Bay, your 4chan, and then
Pirate Bay. I forgot about
further
that.
Down to the hidden wiki, to the Torchan, Onion Chan, yeah, things like that.
I'm guessing that you're also, so like while you may be, because this is not necessarily like something that, I mean, I guess you made it sound like the casual user could in theory get into this stuff with relative ease, but it's a much smaller population of people who are on there. So it's, even though you may have a degree of anonymity, there's also way less people. So it's probably easier to get noticed if you're doing something on there nowadays that it is so accessible versus like, I think the FBI agent was basically saying like, you know, there's a billion searches on Google, you know, every minute. No one, like it's almost impossible to sort of sort through that and actually figure out who's searching for what versus the dark web. Like there may be, you know, 100 people on one of these, or I mean, probably thousands of people on one of these, you know, sort of sketchier sites at any time. And that's what makes it easier. I mean, obviously they did not get into the behind the scenes as to why or how they would be able to do this, but their advice was don't go on the dark web.
In terms of traffic volume, yes. You know, it could be less to monitor, but then again, you know, the levels of encryption, anonymity, like you said, it does pose a challenge, but I'm sure it could be done.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, Tristan, for your dark web 101. And we're going to hear from Randy's going to talk about credential dumping a little bit later. So we're going to go all dark web for the next probably couple weeks because this is interesting. So cool.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that was talking to Tristan. And now we're going to be talking to Randy, who's going to go a little bit more in depth and give us some of the technical aspects of the dark web. So stay tuned. Randy, what's up? You're back. Happy to be here talking dark web.
Spooky.
Spooky. So I already talked to Tristan. Tristan gave sort of a cursory, high-level understanding. Basically, the dark web is an iceberg. You've got the top part, which is like normal internet, and then below it, there's like five levels of hell. That is the dark web, each one becoming more and more nefarious as you get into it. He basically described the lowest level as being like you need quantum computers to even access it. But, you know, what do you understand the dark web to be?
Yeah, it's that seedy alleyway down in a big city on a Saturday night about 3 a.m.
Yeah, like you shouldn't be there, but you, like you want to go check it out because it looks like there's cool stuff happening there.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was designed with intentions of keeping prying eyes of, you know, overly controlling governments and stuff like that out of your stuff. But as with all tools, you know, criminal underminds have taken over and utilized it to their benefit, to stay hidden and to sell stuff. You can buy anything you want down there.
Yeah, he was saying he had actually, so he did some research on the Silk Road back in his associate's degree, and he was talking about how he came across a page or whatever it's called within the dark web. It was like French legionnaires who were basically offering mercenary services within the dark web. You could purchase their time and skill set for, I assume, probably not good things. I'm not sure. French legionnaires are very highly trained and very capable of doing terrible things to people if necessary. So, but generally, I would think they're probably not being hired post-military career for anything great.
Yeah, I've spent more time than I would like to admit out in the dark web. You know, there's times when there's stuff for sale that I have to Google to figure out what is it. But you can buy anything out there, and I think that's the scary part of it.
I think the reason. Your boss pushed you into this conversation because he thought you had some good takes on this. Specifically, New Harbor, I'm not saying we go into the dark web, but we certainly have to understand the dark web because of, you know, especially what you guys do when you're pulling credentials and other stuff during penetration tests. You know, in reality, if you were a bad guy, that stuff's getting yanked. And then I'm assuming it, because you always hear about like, okay, there's this huge data breach, and now they're selling the credentials. I'm assuming they're not selling that on eBay. Would be my guess. It's on the dark web, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So, when we work with organizations to do penetration tests, you know, we try to mimic, you know, the everyday tactics, techniques, and procedures that are being used by criminals in the real world. Part of that is, you know, the first step is to learn as much as we can about an organization. You know, try to discover stolen credentials. So we have to go to the CD places that our fellow hackers are spending their time. We go out, we look to see what we can find out there that we can utilize during our engagements.
Okay, interesting. So, and it's, I guess people would probably be surprised. Like, I mean, what's interesting now is like, you know, like the, if you use, like a lot of password managers now actually will like say, oh, hey, this, you need to update your password on this website because it's been compromised. So it's probably fairly common knowledge now that like when something's stolen, like I'm guessing there's some service that's going through these data dumps and storing that information and then sharing it to let you know that your information's compromised. Cause I get it through like my USAA account has identity protection, and I'll get alerts like, you know, your email was just found at a, you know, data breach or something. Some of that I think is regulatory, right? Like they release it through the, after it's been found through some government agency or something, but some of it must be getting skimmed from somewhere, I would think.
Yeah, I think you've seen a lot of it lately with companies offering these services for dark web monitoring, and exactly like you say, you know, they spend time down in the dark web scanning for specific, you know, user accounts, you know, email addresses. They compile that and then they alert their members. You know, and that's a very small portion of, I think, of what's out there. You know, these organizations they're running an automated tool a lot of times to visit, you know, known sites, right? That's the beauty about the dark web is unless you know about a site or a community or a forum where they're selling credentials, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
Right. There's no Google within the dark web for like...
there's
credentials and stuff.
There's some efforts to do that. You know, there's some search engine portals, but you know, nowadays law enforcement around the world are doing a better job of infiltrating a lot of these you know, forums and, you know, actually charging people. So they're on the move a lot, right? So you might have a community that's selling credit card numbers, you know, and the address is only good for a week because every week they're changing and they're moving, they're jumping servers to, you know, stay out of prison. So it's tough for organizations who do those scans to say, hey, you know, this is what we found in the dark web. You know, it's only what they found in that portion of the dark web.
Sure. Yeah. And who knows how they're actually finding it and what it actually means. But so, and I guess, so the way that it would work in real life. So if a company, you know, you guys are, like you said, you're simulating the entire process. So essentially, you know, a hacker or a bot or something is out there. It pulls the data. And then once it's in their hands, I mean, is it all automated? Like, is there just a process from like, oh, this has gotten stolen. Now it's being dragged into some dark web marketplace and it's fairly hands off? Or once the data is pulled, then someone has to sort of like actually go in and kind of physically, you know, put it on one of those systems.
Yeah. So, you know, let's pretend Zach, you're our bad hacker. You spend your evenings randomly scanning web applications on the internet, trying to find something that's got some vulnerabilities into it. You know, just a typical night. You know, let's say you come across we'll call it a healthcare application, and you find a critical vulnerability in it that allows you to dump all of the data from the backend databases. You know, we'll call it thousands or hundreds of thousands of user records, you know, social security numbers, credit card numbers, payment information, you know, that has a monetary value out on the dark web, right?
Sure.
For, you know, the credit card numbers, for people's medical records. So, you know, you, Zach, the attacker, now possess this database dump, and you know it has value, but you got to sell it somewhere. So like you said, you can't go to eBay and make a killing out there. So you know, you're a member of multiple forums or marketplaces out in the dark web that trade or sell these types of database breaches. So you go out there, you list it for sale to the client base. You know, you put a price on it, per record cost, or, you know, the entire dump. Obviously, if you're selling the entire dump once, it has less value to the second person, right? Because whoever bought it might burn through everything right out of the gate. What you see a lot of time is, you know, you can purchase a batch of like 20 records. You know, the seller will guarantee, hey, you know, out of those 20, you know, between 8 and 12 should still be valid.
And they're dumping. I mean, the reality is they probably want to get rid of it pretty fast anyway. So that's probably the most common, I would think.
Yes. Yeah. Because, you know, if it's a breach that gets detected, you know, the first thing that organizations should be doing is notify their people that, hey, we've had a breach, change your passwords. You know, and it kind of drops that value of that material. But they're out there. They're all. I mean, there's billions. I was just reading a news article the other day, and those are the ones we know about, right? You know, somebody getting, you know, little old Judy's, you know, office login from down the street probably doesn't hold much value versus, you know, like a senior network engineer for a defense contractor, right?
Right.
That's probably going to hold a little more value than your everyday account, just based on, you know, what that account has access to. And I've seen records online going for as little as $3 a pop. To there's some out there that have pretty deep access that are going for six figures.
Which would be like a nation state would probably be interested in that type of stuff, or some corporate, you know, like I guess corporate espionage is probably not uncommon on there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's It's a pretty seedy place.
And, you know, one thing like Tristan talked about, and I already shared it once, but I'll share it quick again, is like I was in a course with an FBI, with the FBI in my previous life, working in public safety. And, you know, they were talking about bomb making materials. And one of the things, you know, someone asked was, you know, like, if I Google how to make a bomb, you know, would you guys be able to figure it out? That it was me. And the guy's like, if you Google it, no. He's like, but if you go in the dark web and find plans, almost 100% yes. He's like, it is, it's because it's a much smaller like population of people who like have access. And like you said, the law enforcement's getting much better. And I imagine it's, you know, the your town cops probably aren't doing much in dark web, you know, but certainly, you know, I bet NYPD and definitely federal agencies are in there. You know, if you're really being stupid, you're probably almost at higher. I mean, like you still have to get through all the encryption and figure out who people are and how they get there. But, you know, you can probably start to piece things together based on user practices and stuff.
Yeah, there's, you know, I mean, there's plenty of documented cases of people getting caught in the dark web. It's not as anonymous as it what once was.
Yeah,
obviously, you know, law enforcement knows where criminal activity is happening, so they insert themselves into that. I mean, there's nothing stops somebody for signing up for an account and pretending to be something that they're not.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of there's no trust out there. I mean,
right.
Generally you're doing business with a criminal anyway, so how much trust trust do you give?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I can't believe the dark web isn't a safe space anymore. I used to
I keep emailing their help desk cuz none of these accounts work. I'm not getting a response back.
Yeah. You know, oh man, yeah. It's very bad. All right. Cool. All right. Well, Randy, I appreciate it. Now we've gone even deeper. Maybe we'll bug you for more. I'm curious just, you know, about this entire thing. Like it's really, I think like you said, even the CD alley, like you want to know what's going on down there. So it's always interesting with people who've been down the CD alley a few times and can tell you, rather than going yourself. Cause Tristan was basically like, yeah, it's not a good idea in a home computer. If you don't know what you're doing to just log into the dark web anymore. You want to protect yourself because like you said, even though it's anonymous, you know, you could still really screw your life up by clicking and buying or downloading something on accident. And, you know, that CD alley.
I agree.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you, Randy.
Always a pleasure, Zach.
All right. Talk to you later. All right. Well, there you have it. This is our introduction to the shady world of the dark web. As always, thank you to New Harbor for sponsoring this. I don't know that we can protect you from being on the dark web other than to tell you maybe don't go there if you're not ready for it. But for all of your other cybersecurity needs, reach out to us, www.newharborsecurity.com. Remember to like, share, subscribe, send it to your friends. You can email us at pwned@newharborsecurity.com. Let us know if you've got ideas, if you want to be on the show. We want to hear from you, so go ahead and reach out, and we will talk to you next week.